time together. We ask that you be glorified in all that we do, say, and think today. We thank you, Lord, for the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the first week of the month and the second month of this year. We ask you, Lord, to be glorified in our lives, our actions, our thoughts, our deeds. Give us a heart to serve you, a heart of faithfulness, a heart of commitment to the things that bring pleasure to you, Lord. We just thank you for this time together. Touch your word, touch your people, all the prayer requests, all the needs, all the sick and shut in, all of those that have challenges that need help right now. We ask you, Lord, to bless us all in that area. And we give you the honor, we give you the praise, we give you the glory. In Jesus' matchless name we pray, amen, amen, amen. So we did not, since we did not meet today, we were going to have our forgiveness workshop this Sunday and next Sunday, but because of the weather and because we want to have a full house, the ladies and I have talked, and they've agreed to postpone it until later in February so that we're all here. So we pray that that will be happening, that we'll all be here this Sunday, but we're going to have the workshop a little later in the month. Hopefully it'll be warmer and we'll have greater attendance. So right now we're shooting for, by the help of God, to have our forgiveness workshop series with Sister Lisa and Sister Andy and Sister Bakara start on Sunday, February 22nd. And it'll conclude on Sunday, February 29th. So they will be in charge of essentially the whole service. We'll do Sunday school, but then after Sunday school, whatever the ladies have planned from 11 until doxology will be exciting, and look, and we are anticipating it, and we just can't wait to get together and learn about forgiveness and about the healing aspects of forgiveness and just how what God does for us through that process. So we're looking forward to it. So in the meantime, today I just want to talk about something that we've been sort of talking about off and on in Sunday school, and that is when God seems unresponsive, when God seems quiet, when God seems to delay. And I borrowed a quote. I think this was from Sister Cynthia. If not, please forgive me. But I believe the quote was, waiting time is not wasting time. And I have a quote, delay is not necessarily denial. Because we don't hear from God immediately, because it seems like God isn't moving fast enough, doesn't always mean what we think it does. And so some of the things that we sort of evaluate or contemplate when we pray and we don't seem to get an immediate response, or the response that we desire, is we think, God's punishing me. There's unconfessed sin in my life. I'm not praying hard enough. I'm not praying long enough. I'm not praying with enough faith. I'm not fasting and praying. I'm not in supplication. I'm not praying in the spirit. All kinds of things come to our mind as to why God is delaying, why God seems to restrain himself, or why he seems to be unresponsive. Well, this wouldn't be the first time someone has thought that way. There's a Hebrew word. I think I included it in the notes for you. It's called chasha, and I may be mispronouncing it, but that's okay. The point is what it means. And it means to be still, inactive, or to hold one's peace. It describes a functional silence. God is not speaking or acting yet. Sometimes God just deliberately, for his purposes and his alone, we can't deconstruct it. We can't understand it. We don't always know what he's saying or why he's waiting, but he has his reasons. He has his reasons. And I pray that we all will get comfortable with God delaying his delays, that we can get comfortable with God deciding, I'm going to wait. Sister Marie, can you open that door to someone here who wants to get in? So I think one of the things that we should focus on is, God, even though you delay, we're okay. Help me to be okay. Help me to get to be okay. If I'm not okay already, please help me to get to that point where I am okay. Because I don't want to do something that extends your will or your work. I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. I don't want to be the reason you haven't responded yet to me. If I'm doing something wrong, please reveal that to me. One of the things that I personally do and have for a long time when I'm praying about something and I'm thinking that the prayer is taking a while to get resolved or to get answered, I think, you know what? There must be something in me. Maybe there is unforgiveness in my heart. Maybe there is unconfessed sin in my life. Maybe there is something that's blocking me from allowing God to move forward. So one of the things that I like to do is I like to incorporate the prayer that David prayed in Psalms 139. I love that prayer. Sister Marie, if you want to, you can turn that up some. I love that prayer. I'm just going to read a little bit of it to you. I've actually alluded to this prayer 1,000 times. And I say that, you know, facetiously, but I love this prayer of David in Psalms 139, where he says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." I love that. "You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me." I love that verse because it just seems like he's saying, like, I got you. I'm covering you. Top, bottom, side, back. Wherever we think we're exposed, wherever we feel that we're vulnerable, God is covering that flank. God is covering that area. There is no place where the enemy can get to us that God isn't aware of. He allows the enemy, if you go back to Job chapter 1, he allows the enemy access to us in a very controlled, a very limited exposure, a very purposeful way. He allows the enemy to work on his behalf for our benefit to God's glory. You see, even what the Lord allows, if we use what occurred with Job as a template, if Job becomes sort of the boilerplate for how God uses adversity and how God uses pain and how God uses sorrow to bring us into a better place, then we can feel assured that nothing is happening outside of God's domain. It's not coincidental. It's not incidental. It's not accidental. If it's going down, God's aware of it. If it's happening, God allowed it. If it's taking place, God is in control of it. Amen? Just marinate on that for a second. Just process that for a second. Because that's an important truth that we need to know. So David says, you know, where can I go from your spirit? And we know that portion of the scripture. The answer is not anywhere. God has us covered everywhere. He has us covered everywhere. He says in verse 14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And that should be an encouragement for people that say, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? But I could respond by saying, you were built for this. God prepared you for this. An eternity past, God knew before the foundation of the earth that one day you were going to engage this, that Sister Fanny was going to encounter this person at the gas station that was down to her last, and $3 would make the difference that day. God saw that thousands and thousands of years ago and built Sister Fanny for such a time as this, for this moment, for this period, as Uncle Mordecai said to his niece Esther, for such a time as this, who knows, but that God didn't bring you to this place for such a time as this. That's the God we serve. Wow. And so he concludes, or I conclude at least, in this portion of Psalms 139, he says, search me, O God. And this is my prayer. When I'm praying and things seem to be taking an inordinate amount of time, and it's not that God is taking too long, is that I'm too impatient. I think Sister Julia alluded to this in her testimony, and I agree. Lord, help me to be more patient. Help me not to put unnecessary stress and pressure on me. I know I ain't gonna be pressuring you. I can cry and moan and groan all I want. You're gonna move when you're ready to move. My inability to trust you and to be confident is not your problem. It's my problem. I'm the one that has to learn to slow down and to wait. So you say in your word, I'm reading the English Standard Version, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way. I mean, I like what the King James Version says better on that verse. See if there's any wicked way. Let's just call it what it is. You know, one translation says, see if there's any offensive way. Another translation says, see if there's any hurtful way. This translation, the ESV, says, see if there's any grievous way. But I just like, Lord, let's just call a spade, if there's anything wicked in me, okay? If there's something wicked in me, please remove it. Take it away. Lead me in your way everlasting. I want to be like you. I want to be a disciple. That's the song that the Anderson lady so beautifully sang. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to follow you. Not for any ulterior motive, not for money or fame or wealth or notoriety or for success or for prosperity or for blessings. I want to follow you because you are you. I want to follow you because I love you. I want to follow you because you first love me. I want to follow you because there's no one else on earth that I want to follow. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So I love that. I think that's an amazing passage, and it's a way that we can look at things when they don't appear to be moving as fast as we would like. Lord, am I the hindrance? Start with yourself. Don't start pointing the blame at others. Don't even start blaming God. Say, dude, what's up? Don't say that. Start with yourself. Start with me. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Am I the problem? Whether it's unconfessed sin, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's some sort of conflict that's going on maritally. I'm thinking of the reasons that God sometimes doesn't answer our prayers right away, or things that can become hindrances to God answering our prayers. Am I too impatient? Am I asking amiss? Am I asking for something that will be harmful to me? Something that I don't need? There is a reason for God's apparent delays, because they aren't always delays. Matter of fact, I'm only familiar with one place in the Bible where the Bible actually admits that the message was delayed. And even then, it doesn't say why. And of course, I'm referring to Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel prayed and the prayer was held up by enemy forces for 21 days. And Michael was dispatched to help get the message to Daniel. But even then, the message that Daniel was getting was about the future. It was a prophetic message. It wasn't necessarily about something that Daniel needed answered right then that was time sensitive, right? I mean, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, that was time sensitive. You got to worse than any other animal probably on the planet, and they're hungry and you're just fresh meat, that's probably a little more time sensitive. A 21-day delay in that instance probably wouldn't be good. But even then, God could take the lion's appetite away for 21 days. It's God we're talking about here. We're not talking about science or natural forces or physics or biology. God can suspend the laws of all scientific norms, all scientific laws, all theorems and equations. God can make 1 and 1 equals 3 if he wanted to. He can find a way. So we don't have to worry about he extended the day for Joshua to finish the battle. God allowed the axe's head in the days of Elijah to float on water, once again defying the laws of gravity. God allowed an instance where Peter was able to literally walk on water, okay? God defied even the laws of death and told Lazarus to get up and come forth. I mean, this is God we're talking about, okay? God allowed the sun to continue to shine longer than it would and extended that day. And science have been able to evaluate that and realize that there was a day in history that was super long. It's amazing. And I could just go on and on with the laws of physics that God have reversed or thwarted or broken because of his purposes that he allowed a donkey. I was just reading the other day when I was doing my reading about, of course, the donkey that spoke to Balaam had a conversation with them. And it just amazed me. I always talk about this when I bring it up. Is that why did Balaam say, dude, how are you talking? And Balaam started answering the donkey. The donkey said, have I ever, messed you up before? Have I ever not responded to you? Have I ever been unfaithful to you? And Balaam was dumb enough to answer the question. I won't say dumb enough. Maybe just in the moment, he was just so startled and so caught up in the moment that, no, you really haven't. You're talking to a mule here, Balaam. You might want to think about that. But God can cause an animal to talk. He said he can cause the rocks to cry out and praise him. Amen. God can do whatever he wants to do. It's like there are no limitations. Even Hollywood has limitations with magic and wizardry and animation and what they even have limitations with what they can do with CGI and etc. God has no limitations. Don't doubt him. According to Job, we haven't even figured out the natural things that he's done. If you look at Job chapters 37, 38, 39, 40, God, we can't even answer those questions yet. And those are just natural human things. Space, animals, oceanography, astronomy. We can't even answer things that are within our so-called realm. But God has so much more. More than the eye have seen. More than the ear can hear. More than have entered into the heart of man. God can exceed that. Matter of fact, according to Ephesians 3:20, he can do exceeding abundantly. I don't even know how much that is. I don't even know if it's quantifiable. He can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask. I would have been happy with that verse had it even stopped there. Because I think, okay, there's only so much I can ask for because I can only imagine so much. But then God takes it to another level. He says, I can even go above not only what you can ask for, I can go above what you can imagine. What you can think, what you can conceive, what you can dream of. I'm not limited by your fantasies. I'm not even limited by your wild imagination. Go for it. Think as far out as you can think. And I can beat that. And guess what? And this person that we're talking about, he chooses to call us friend. He chooses to call us son and daughters. He chooses to give us his name. Wow. What's in a name? Tim and Todd taught the mess out of that, boy. We just love it. What's in a name? So that's what our God does. So in wrapping this up, I pray that you are encouraged. Isaiah wrote in 14 verse of 42nd chapter, I have long time held my peace, the KJV says. I have been still and refrained myself. The New Living Translation handles that a little differently. It says, I have been silent for a long time. I have restrained myself, but now, like a woman in labor, I will cry and groan and pant. In other words, he's describing this dysfunction of what we do, this inactivity. And we hold one's peace while we're waiting for the Lord. There's another Hebrew word, daman, or daman, D-A-M-A-M. And it means that we're dumb or silent or still. It implies the silence that is a heaviness or a waiting. An example of that is Psalm 62, the KJV says, truly my soul waiteth upon God, for him cometh my salvation. So what do we do when God seems to be unresponsive? As I close, what do we do when God seems to delay? What do we do when it seems like God is taking his good old Mary time? I'll tell you what we do. We just wait. Waiting time is not wasting time. We occupy till he comes, like I talked about last week. We just keep on working. We keep on making progress. The Hebrew word kavah, we talked about last Sunday. We stay busy. We stay focused. We wait with purpose. We wait with intent. We occupy till he comes. We stay busy. We keep serving. We keep praying. We keep watching. We keep anticipating his coming. We're waiting with anticipation. We're waiting with expectation. We're faithfully waiting. Kavah, Q-A-V-A-H, the Hebrew word for waiting with purpose. Waiting knowing that God is up to something good. Waiting knowing that God is working while we're waiting. Waiting knowing that God hasn't forgotten us, that he is doing something on our behalf. While we're waiting, God is working. While we're waiting, God is resolving issues. While we're waiting, God is fixing whatever is wrong. While we're waiting, God is unraveling the issues, the challenges, the burdens, the hurt, the pain, the stress. God is at work. He is not sitting somewhere having a cup of tea like I have a cup of tea right here. God is not having a cup of tea. God is shaking stuff up. God is rocking your world. God is fixing things that we don't even know is broken. God is resolving situations that we haven't even anticipated yet. We don't know what God is doing, but we know he is doing something. He is active. Rod, I want to run around the church, but I'm going to stay right here because Marie and Justin are looking at me like I'm a crazy man because I'm talking to this camera. But I'm talking to this camera because I'm so excited about what God is up to. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what his plans are, but I'm glad that we're part of it, BBC. I'm glad we're part of it. I'm glad God hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't overlooked us. He hasn't thrown us to the wolves. We're still on his schedule. We're on his to-do list. I'm done. God is good. Lord, we just thank you for your word. May we be strengthened and encouraged this morning to believe that when things look bleak, when things look black, when things look hopeless, that you are there waiting to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You said in his word, we call your word before you. We come before you agreeing with your word, reminding you of your word, restating your word, saying your word back to you because we know you trust. We know that you will do what you said you will do, and we trust that. We know you will honor your word, and we stand on that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God is good. God is good. Just before